This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
Hi, this is Lowell Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
And this is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory, but we drew the map. Okay, so this one, Baris Gunn. And this is a real name because it has lots of little squiggly bits on it and little things on top.
Oh,
and
you'll
understand
that.
Why when I say hello from Istanbul.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
I am a fan of the Banshees since 2001 when my uncle introduced me with the Peep Show album. I had a chance to listen to Susie's solo show. I wanted to see and bought tickets for Dream Show, but I couldn't get my visa.
Hey.
Later, I got a DVD. Am I watching and crying? I saw my empty seat.
Eh?
It was my dream too. So he bought a ticket and couldn't get a visa to go in and had to watch the video with an empty seat with him that he would have been sitting there watching the show for real.
Aww.
How sad is that? That's very sad. Okay. So I really, really, really love Budgie's musical mind and I think his every little act gives a spirit to each track. I wanted to ask your experiences with Leonard, Ito, how you both get in touch, what you felt, what you learned, and what changed in you and your music. And please, one day, if you do decide to do another show, invite me. I live in a horrible and unjust country, and I have to breathe. That's what he said.
Wow. Makes me realize how fortunate. We're not too, we're not too far from borders here in Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm reminded every day, really, about borders in Berlin.
He's a ceramicist as well. He said he makes beautiful pots and stuff. So
very, very, nice, well, thank you for the kind words. Really touching. I do remember, for instance, when we first played places like Prague, and people told us the stories of how they had to meet under cover of darkness, to exchange albums that were not really available. It was, you had to go an extra few miles to follow, I think, popular culture that you were interested in. It wasn't so easy. How did Leonard Ato and myself meet?
Yeah, how'd you meet?
I'd always been a fan of the Japanese Kodo, the Taiko drum troupe. That back in the 80s, Leonard's name I would have become familiar with because he was principal drummer and chief writer with Kodo at that time.
So tell me, was he the guy then at the beginning of the show that I saw? Because I saw him play several times. Would he have been the guy standing on front of that, the biggest huge Odaiko, the one they have to bring in on a train base?
I don't know if Leonard was at that, because there were still, I think, the older guys in the troupe. if I remember correctly.
Because the guy that did it, I think, must have been in his late 40s, 50s, but he was just wearing, you know, the loincloth thing and the headset, and he was bashing with these things that looked like they were like small tree trunks. And it was very, very dramatic. And my son, Gray, was about 10 at the time, and he was quite overawed by the whole thing, you know, because it was very dramatic beginning to a show. I just wondered if that was Leonard.
That might have been. I don't know. I asked Leonard because I'd read about and seen a documentary on the Kodo who lived on the island of Sado. Yes. And in the documentary, you saw the drummers running in the snow around the periphery of the island, coming into the studios where they started to stretch the heads, you know, to tension the binds that made the head tight. And it was like discipline. And I thought, wow. I said, Leonard, is that what you used to do every morning? He went, no. That was the young guys. We got the young guys to do all that. We just got up later and had breakfast. And I was like, ooh, the myth has just been crushed. We had but really it was like, Susie and I used to religiously, when the One Earth tour came through, that was Kodo's annual tour. And when they had the funds to get to London, because it did change.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. It was great.
So they come, regularly, the venue would be Sadler's Wells Theatre, an old ballet theatre. And
here in LA, they would play Royce Hall in UCLA in the university. Very nice.
That's it. I saw them at Royce Hall. Yeah.
Well, maybe I saw them with you. Maybe we were sitting on the opposite side.
When they played LA, they could bring more troupe members. And so they'd had more dancers and things like
that. A lot of them. And it was women as well.
That's right. That would be later. They introduced women into the performance and children as well. Yeah. But it was more disciplined and more focused on that big drum and that heavy, you know, leaning back and the ripped muscles in the torso. And I was just pretty taken by the whole thing. And I even tried to meet them. I got to meet them all backstage at the Royal Festival Hall.
Wow.
But I still couldn't get that meeting that meant, you know, can we collaborate somehow?
Right.
And it was only when the Creatures were doing a tour of America towards the end. Let me get this right. It was the Banshees. It was the 7-Year Itch. It was the last Banshees tour. And I'd contacted... Now, how did this happen? We had a support act on that tour, the last Banshees tour, was X-Girl. And I just heard them on, I think, the internet and just got in touch. And they said yes. And they were three-piece Japanese, all female. It was like a Japanese version of like a kind of a Slits without a lead singer. It's just guitar, bass, and drums. And they were pretty prog rock and pretty crazy. And they were actually the musical director, if you like, or the person who was recording it, was a guy called Hoppy Kamiyama. And Hoppy was a producer in Tokyo. And his best friend was Leonard from the Kodo. And so Hoppy was out there dressed as a frog because he dressed as a frog to come on stage. And when he wasn't in his frog suit, I said, Hoppy, because that's probably why he was called Hoppy.
Yeah, that sounds
like... Any chance of getting the word to Leonard that we might be able to, like, meet up and say hi? Yeah. He not only got us the meeting, but the meeting was in the studio, and we didn't say hi. We just started playing drums. So that's really that was the conversation. The conversation was the drumming, and it lasted about 35 minutes. And then we stopped and we went, phew, that was good. Well, we didn't. We just went, phew, because there wasn't a lot of common language. And we went into the small control room and the girls were in there and Susie was in there. And we just said, we should do more. So we went back out and started making more beats. And that's where the High album came from. And that was all because the Banshees were on this 7-Year Itch tour. And it all happened on my birthday on the 21st of August would be, I think, 2002.
Okay, right. Well, here's one that we can both answer, I think.
Okay.
From Michael Davis. Michael from Tulsa here. That would be, you know, the Gene Pitney song. You know, I was only
24 hours
from Tulsa.
What is 24 hours from Tulsa, I wonder?
Well, here is probably 24 hours from Tulsa if you're driving.
Okay. So
maybe.
So he's in LA. Whoever sang that song, 24 hours from Tulsa, could have been in LA.
Could have been in LA or New York, maybe, because New York's a bit further. That would be 24 hours. But I guess if you hitchhiked, maybe it's 24 hours. I mean,
if you were walking, like Harry Dean Stanton in Paris, Texas.
If you're walking, it'd be a few days. So Michael from Tulsa asks, what was your drama education like throughout your careers on the road? Did either of you progress independently on your own, or did you have teachers and guides on the way?
Wow.
Thanks for the podcasts. Best wishes to the both of you. That's Michael Davis from Tulsa.
Thanks, Michael. Great question.
Yeah.
Days on the road. Yep. I remember the first teacher I had. See, I'd never had any official drum training.
Yeah.
But the first teacher was a guy on a silver Premier, without popping right. the mic, Premier yeah. drum kit. British drum company.
British drum kit, yes.
And it was just that. I remember watching him and I was thinking, I like the way he does those little fills.
Yeah.
And that really was the way I learned.
Right.
My biggest and most memorable teacher was Topper Hedon. Topper Hedon?
Topper Hedon, yes.
Topper with, what do you call it, with the Clash.
Right.
Because I was fortunate to be touring. I just joined up with the Slits, who are on tour, on the Sort It Out tour of Britain. And
right.
I watched Topper every night. I watched Topper and Baker, his Rottweiler of a drum tech, yeah. and Joe and Mick and Paul. And it was watching Topper, like sort of like poetry in motion. Real right. drummer with the power and yet no effort, fluid, everything required of the song and just nothing superfluous. It was an education I can still like dip into today because it changed everything for me.
I think for me, I did have one drum teacher for a while, Andy McBride, and he was like this jazz drummer that used to work on the QE2, you know, going backwards and forwards from America, playing in the jazz band, you know. So we would meet on Saturday mornings, and he would try and teach me stuff. And I bought around this goes in with the Clash. I bought the Clash album around. To him and said, teach me how to play these things.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, there aren't any triplets in it, but you know, I can teach you. I go, that's fine. You know, it's fine. You know, and you can't do any of this with brushes. I go, that's all right. I don't want to do brushes.
No.
Okay, so he would teach me from that. And I was with him for, I don't know, year and a half, something. So I got to learn a few bits of things. And I think it cost me £4 an hour. That was how, wow. yeah, £4. Yeah.
Big influence was like Kraftwerk. It's weird, you know, because it was a new way of hearing beat.
Right, totally. Totally different. New sounds. I like the sounds as well. The sounds were different.
And that kind of and really kind of thought, hang on. That's kind of like, we could use that in a dance kind of mode. I was still hearing stuff that was like when we did the Lollapalooza, the first Lollapalooza tour, and watching Perkins with Jane's Addiction.
Right, Stephen Perkins, yeah.
Just the stuff that they were playing in, he was playing in the big song, I think it's called Shoplifting, something like that.
Yeah. You know, his house is just around the corner from me.
Yeah. I think we've walked past it of a morning, I think.
Time. Yeah, I used to see him in the supermarket.
I bet he had like a shiny suit on. Like, I bet he looked really dapper.
He did look dapper. You know, I was there in my daggy tracks and what have you, you know, and unshaven, and he was pretty dapper and shiny. Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how when you are touring around and you're doing festivals and all the rest of it, you know, you spot drums, you hear drummers, and you spot them.
Yeah.
And they all give you something.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, in the early punk days, all the gigs I used to go and see, like the Stranglers and stuff. I watched Jet Black. I loved him. XTC. I loved Terry Chambers as well, but I couldn't do what he did, but I liked watching him.
Yeah, I feel a big affiliation. And the production on that stuff was very drum-led as well, which was,
yeah.
So it means you were able to really hear those drum parts at Wire as well. I love, I don't know if it's his real name, Robert. Go to bed.
Robert Go to Bed, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't his real name, you know that, right?
Well, I like it.
It was his real name for us, right?
It could have been my real name, Budgie Go to Bed.
Yeah.
So, always at the end of the night, you know, when the bar was just closed.
Right.
Budgie, go to bed.
Mine was like, low, stop that noise.
And I used to leave and go to my, you know, way to the, somebody would actually take me. I think it was, you know, somebody called Viv, who was like supposed to be minding us. Sounds like kindergarten, isn't it? And, you know, like, so, thank goodness he's gone to bed. And like, I'd appear at the other end of the bar.
Yeah. Hi! I'm back. Yeah.
I'm back. Where's the party? Oh, dear, dear. Yes. All that from a drum question. It doesn't take much, does it, really? Curious Creatures is created and presented by Lol Tolhurst and Budgie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wilde.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas Kay.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cura Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2023.